Well, hello. Today is Pentecost Sunday, which is a really important celebration in the life of the church. I am very excited about the message today, not just because of what I'm speaking about, but also because I'm preaching to two congregations. A big welcome today to Genesis Church in Maryborough, Victoria. I have visited Genesis Church in the past on a number of occasions and have been greatly privileged to minister there for my good friends, Pastor Jim and Robin McMillan. Hi, Jim and Robin. Pastor Jim's on leave at the moment, so Genesis Church, you're stuck with me today. A big welcome also to End Church as well. I guess with me speaking to Genesis Church and to End Church in the one message, I'm quite literally speaking from the beginning to the end, and I promise no more dad jokes today. End Church and Genesis Church are both a part of a movement that's known as Pentecostalism. Now, it's not a particular denomination or group, but rather I like to think of it as a worldwide movement of God's Holy Spirit. Charismatic and Pentecostal Christians can be found in a whole range of different denominations. There are charismatic and Pentecostal Christians in the Catholic Church and the Anglican Church and the Uniting Church, and of course, Australian Christian churches are Pentecostal. The word Pentecostal comes from the Jewish Feast of Pentecost, and particularly from the first celebration of Pentecost that followed the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. According to Acts chapter 2, on that day the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus' disciples and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They immediately began to speak in languages that they had never learned. And the Bible calls this speaking in tongues. This experience is called the baptism in the Holy Spirit, or to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, as with anything in the Christian church, there are many different views about what that first Pentecost means to the church today. There are many different views on what it means to be baptized in the Spirit or to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There are some who believe that it just happened for the early church, and we read it in the book of Acts, but after that, it didn't happen again. And they believe that it's not an experience for today. Pentecostals, however, believe that this was not a one-off event, but it's something that can and does happen every single day all around the world. We believe that the whole church was meant to be Pentecostal, and we believe that speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Holy Spirit with healings and miracles and faith and prophecy, we believe that all of these were meant for the whole church. They weren't just meant to be limited to a particular stream of the church. So today I want to speak about being filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And I want to explain as clearly as I can what we believe about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, which accompanies being filled with God's Holy Spirit. I want to do this because I believe that this experience with God's Holy Spirit is key to what has been the effectiveness of preaching the gospel by the Pentecostal movement. The Pentecostal church at the moment is the fastest growing section of the Christian church. And I don't believe that that is by any coincidence at all. It's because of God's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us for mission and for ministry. That's why the Pentecostal church is growing. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, I believe, makes all the difference in living and leading a dynamic and supernatural, empowered, missionally effective, abundant and fulfilling Christian life. Wow, there's a lot there. In Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit's first poured out at that Jewish feast of Pentecost, we read there where the followers of Jesus were all gathered together in one place. They'd been told by Jesus to wait in Jerusalem. He said, wait in Jerusalem until you receive this power from above. Jesus told them that they would be empowered for mission when the Holy Spirit came upon them. Can I just read that passage, first four verses in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. When the Holy Spirit comes upon them, they begin to experience the power of God in a way that they hadn't before. Immediately, These disciples are launched into a new dimension of effectiveness and power as Christians. Peter stands up, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and begins to preach with a new authority, with a new conviction. Something radically had changed as a result of the experience with the Holy Spirit. Something new and different happened to the followers of Jesus on that first Pentecost. The power of God was poured out and made available to the people of God in a way that was unprecedented. And we refer to this experience as the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches us that we receive the Holy Spirit the moment we surrender our lives to Christ. And the scriptures are quite clear about this. God puts his Spirit within us when we're born again as children of God. But this is just the beginning of our experience with the Holy Spirit. Everyone who comes to Jesus and gives their life to Jesus and accepts him as Lord and Savior, the Spirit comes to live in their lives. But then there's this other experience of the Holy Spirit that we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When we say yes to the Lordship and authority of Jesus in our lives, we receive God's Spirit. But there is another experience with the Holy Spirit. And this is what we're talking about today, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You know, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that we read about in Acts chapter 2, it was spoken about in the Old Testament, and it was something that had been promised for the future. We read in the Old Testament prophet Joel, where, you know, God is speaking through Joel, and he's speaking 800 years before Jesus came to the earth. And this is what God is telling the people of God then that's going to happen in the future. We read this in Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 29. God says, "And afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days." You know, in the Old Testament, we see people like Moses and David and Samson and Elijah. They received a special anointing at special times to carry out particular things on behalf of God. But in Joel, God promised that there would come a time, and this is the time that we're living in, folks, that there would come a time when his Spirit would be poured out on all flesh and not just on a few chosen ones. You know, in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, we read what John the Baptist spoke about when he was talking about the Holy Spirit. He said, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who's more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Jesus also spoke about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16, verse 17. He said, "I tell you the truth. It's good for you that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor, that's the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." And again, in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, we see where Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's risen from the grave. He's ascending up into heaven. And he says this, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit." So in these scriptures and other scriptures, Jesus speaks about what the prophet Joel promised. And he gave those disciples explicit instructions not to begin their ministries, not to do anything. Wait in Jerusalem until the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then you're ready for ministry. So today, the question is, how do we know that we are baptized in the Holy Spirit? I mean, we know that if we're following Jesus and we've asked Jesus into our lives and we're following him and serving him, that the Holy Spirit is living in us. But how do we know if we're baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, the God-given New Testament sign that someone was baptized in the Holy Spirit is the supernatural ability to speak in other languages, languages they haven't learned. This is what the Bible calls speaking in tongues or praying in tongues. Speaking in tongues was and still is a manifestation of God's Holy Spirit. It was and still is a gift from God that's available to every believer who wants it. Speaking in tongues was and still is the initial outward sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not the only sign, but it is the initial sign of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit releases new power within the Spirit and the life of a believer. they're able to pray in a language given to them by the Holy Spirit. And I believe that the ability to pray in tongues, these new languages, become something of a lubricant for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, if you want to be stepping out with the gift of faith and gift of healing and prophetic words and a word of knowledge and the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are mentioned in the New Testament, then I believe it's essential for you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's like this is where it all begins. The baptism of the Holy Spirit releases a power also in intercession and prayer, so that we're able to pray the very words that God gives us, and we're praying according to His will. It releases us into a new level of missional effectiveness, and this is why I'm so excited about this message today. You know, if we as a church can get this, this can change our communities because of the Holy Spirit working in us, equipping us to do all that He's called us to do. The transforming power of the Spirit is evident right at the beginning of the Christian church, and we see this in Acts chapter 2. Actually, the birth of Christianity at Pentecost, it was a dramatic work of the Holy Spirit. But then what happened, as you read on in Acts chapter 2, 3,000 people repent and become Christians. You know, theologian Jürgen Moltmann says this. He argues that the Christian church was born with speaking in tongues. So the Holy Spirit comes upon the believers, and then they reach out to those around them who don't know Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, we read where the Holy Spirit came upon those believers, and when He did, they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. These followers had already accepted Jesus. We read in John chapter 20, where Jesus rose from the grave, and when He did, He appeared to His disciples. And in John 20, I think it's verse 22, Jesus said, He breathed on them and He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So they were followers of Jesus. They were in relationship with Jesus. And then sometime after at Pentecost, they were subsequently filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other languages. And we see this as a pattern. People come to know Jesus, they become followers of Jesus, and then there is another experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we see this very clearly in Acts chapter 10. Now, when we're reading Acts chapter 10, you have to understand that it's happening about 10 years after the experience we read about in Acts chapter 2. So this is the first occasion where the gospel is really preached to non-Jewish people, to Gentiles, actually to a Roman centurion and his family and his household. So some 10 years after Acts chapter 2, we read where Peter is preaching in the house of the Roman centurion Cornelius. This was a man who had a heart after God. An angel appeared to him and said, "Get Peter and bring him to your house, and he's got things that he has to say to you." But as Peter is speaking, the Holy Spirit's poured out on those who were hearing the message. He didn't even get to finish his sermon. He gets started on it, and then something miraculous happens. Let's read it in Acts 10, starting in verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who'd come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had even been poured out on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Amazing. In Acts chapter 19, again, we see this same pattern again of people coming into relationship with Jesus and then experiencing this other experience of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 19, now this is happening about 25 years after Acts chapter 2. You know, sometimes we can read through Acts and think, wow, this is happening really quickly. But we have to understand that it's written and it covers quite a period of time. So 25 years after Acts chapter 2, we read the story of Paul ministering to the church at Ephesus. And the Bible tells us that when Paul laid hands on the believers, the Holy Spirit came upon them. Acts chapter 19, starting in verse 1, we read this. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul then asked, "Well, what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. And Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began to spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Again, very similar to Acts chapter 2 with the disciples there in the upper room. These passages clearly demonstrate that speaking in tongues, praying in other language, and other languages accompanied the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was the sign that people had received the Holy Spirit. I mean, there are a number of other passages throughout the book of Acts that, while they don't specifically mention tongues in association with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I believe that it is certainly implied. You know, some people are worried about it. And of course, it is completely out of our naturalistic and rationalistic worldview. It's completely outside of that. You know, that God can give us like a heavenly language, languages that maybe that aren't known, or languages that are known, that God can give us a language like that, and then we can in turn praise him. But some people are a little bit worried about it. But, you know, I want to assure you that this is quite normal, supernatural, but normal. Tongues is not some hypnotic zombie-like state in which the person has no control over their faculties and what they're doing. When you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, you determine when you're going to pray out in that language and when you're not. You've got complete control over it. Speaking in tongues is, and to put very simply, Holy Spirit-inspired speech in a language unknown to the speaker. And in the case of Acts chapter 2, they were known languages because Luke tells us in Acts chapter 2 that when those first believers were filled with the Holy Spirit, the people understood what they were saying and recognized that they were praising God in the languages that they knew. But Paul also tells us that there are unknown languages that we speak as well. When we pray in a tongue, we're speaking and praying directly to God. And in 1 Corinthians 14, 2, Paul says, "For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but speaks to God." And God is spirit. So when you pray in tongues, your spirit is in direct contact with God, who's a spirit. When you speak in tongues, you are talking to him by divine, supernatural means. When we pray in tongues, we strengthen and encourage and edify ourselves for all that God has called us to do. And again, in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, Paul says, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves. And he's recognizing there that when we're praying in tongues, we're building ourselves up. Paul says, you know, I speak in tongues more than all of you. This was something that Paul did all the time. And, you know, when he said, I speak in tongues more than any of you, I believe that this is a key, you know, to Paul's effectiveness as well as an apostle and reaching the then known world with the gospel. But when we come to the book of Jude, we're also encouraged to do this in verse 20, where Jude says, you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. He's encouraging us to do that, and he's recognizing that we can build our faith up. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. You know, seeking this experience is so important because the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I believe, brings the personal boldness and power of the Holy Spirit into our lives so that we're better equipped to accomplish all that we're meant to do. We become channels of the divine in the sense that the Holy Spirit can work through us in supernatural ways. This is so exciting. You know, we can be in that place where we're praying, empowered by the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are happening in our lives and around us, and people's lives are being changed as a result of that. The baptism of the Holy Spirit also enhances our sensitivity to sin. Sin that grieves the Holy Spirit, if we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's working through us. You know, when we sin, there's a grieving that takes place. And I believe that our conviction is sharper for the things that we do wrong. It should also encourage, I believe, seeking after righteousness and holiness in our lives. It helps us in our prayer life. It helps us in every facet of our Christian walk. Speaking and praying in tongues keeps us continually aware of the Holy Spirit's indwelling presence. And if you're conscious of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, it's bound to affect the way you think and the words you speak and how you live. when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit and walk in that fullness, fullness of the human spirit, then the human spirit, it's open to the Holy Spirit for a direct connection and download. I am convinced that that is true. The Holy Spirit flows into us with prayer, and he becomes the intercessor. That prayer then flows back out of us to God in a tongue that's unknown. Maybe it's known, but mostly they're unknown. And the effect is that God prays through us. And we see this. Paul writes about this in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, when he says this. He says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans and words that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. If you want to witness and serve God on a new level, then you need to be empowered by God's Holy Spirit. You need to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit with all that is within you. Don't settle for anything less than God's best for your life. If you've already been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you feel as though that you're not now where you once were, you need to stir up that gift that God has given you. You need to be seeking more after God. You need to be praying more in the language that God has given you. You know, while the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a one-off event, I believe that we have to be actively cultivating this gift that God has given us. God has given us this wonderful spiritual gift to bless us, to edify us, to strengthen us, to refresh us, and to be the people that he's called us to be, to do all that he wants us to do on this earth. He's given us this gift to empower us to preach the gospel. So if you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, I want to encourage you to stir it up so you're praying in tongues more. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, then can I encourage you to seek this wonderful gift of God. You need it to do and be all that God's called you to do. There is more for you. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, I want to encourage you to do a few things as a result of hearing this message today. But before I do that, just one last quote. You know, when you baptize in the Holy Spirit, it doesn't make you any better than any other Christian. It doesn't make you any better than, you know, someone who hasn't got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's actually just a recognition of how weak we actually are. You know, Dick Brogdon had a great quote about being Pentecostal. He said this. He said, I'm a Pentecostal by necessity and not by choice. He said, I daily seek to be refilled with the Holy Spirit out of sheer desperation. The continual refilling of the Spirit is the lifeline of the weak. You know, maybe you are a Christian, but haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you've been struggling with a whole lot of things. Well, can I encourage you that this gift is for you? It is a lifeline of the weak. And you know, for me, you know, praying in tongues, being filled with the Holy Spirit, it reminds me of just how much more that I need God. So maybe you're listening to this today and you say, well, you know, I would love what you're talking about. I'd love the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, what do you need to be in that place to receive this wonderful gift from God? Well, firstly, you have to make sure that you've accepted by faith Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. Now, I'm talking about a personal relationship with God through Jesus. This is not a relationship that we have through our church or through some denominational affiliation or simply because we go and sit in the church on Sunday. This is a relationship with God, a life-transforming relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, when Peter was baptized in the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, we read where he stood up and began to preach. And he really drove the importance of this home. He said this in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said, this promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all on whom the Lord our God will call. So this is important. You must be in that relationship with Jesus. Then you must really want to have a desire. You need to really want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God will never force himself upon you. You know, the Holy Spirit won't force himself upon you. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, then you need to be hungry for God. You know, in John chapter 7, verse 37, Jesus is talking about this thirst. He said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. I believe this is a reference to the Holy Spirit. You know, if you want this gift, if you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, be thirsty for it, be hungry for it, go after it, and don't stop until you get it. So we're in relationship with Jesus. We have a desire to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. And then you simply need to pray and ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit's given in response to prayer. And we see this numerous times in the Bible. In Acts 8, we read where Peter and John were sent to Samaria because the people were becoming Christians, and they prayed for the Samaritan believers to receive the Holy Spirit. So prayer is so very important. We come and we ask God, we pray and say, God, fill us with your Holy Spirit. And then I think you also have to have an expectation of something good from God. Have an expectation in your heart that God will baptize you with his Holy Spirit. You know, in Mark 11, verse 24, we read this. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you've received it, and then it will be yours. I love in Psalm 5 that it says, in the morning, I lay my requests before God, and I wait in expectation. I love that psalm. And that's what we have to do when we come to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we're in relationship with God. We really desire it. We really want it. We pray for it. And then we have an expectation that God is going to fill us. We're going to praise God. And, you know, I could see people just in their bedrooms, in their land rooms, just praising God just normally, and the Holy Spirit coming upon you and these tongues flowing out of you. It's such an exciting thing. And I can't wait until it happens to you if you have not yet receive this experience. If you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, well, I'm just believing that this message is going to stir you up. More so, God's Holy Spirit is going to stir you up and draw you into that prayer place, that prayer closet where you're praying in tongues and believing for more of God. Let me pray. So, Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for everyone, Lord, who is listening to this message today and has got to this point in the sermon. Father, I pray for those who have already received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would stir them up. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would remind us of the joy of your salvation. Lord, those early days when we were baptized in the Holy Spirit, how exciting it was following you and serving you. And I pray for a fresh excitement, a fresh expectation to be poured out on those who are already baptized in the Holy Spirit. Lord, for those who have not yet received this wonderful gift, I pray that today is the day that you would fill them to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. Again, Lord, as they sit in lounge chairs or on the edge of their bed or in their study, Lord, as they're there and praying that you would pour out that gift on their life, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would do a supernatural sovereign work in the lives of those people. Fill them to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that in Jesus' name. Well, I'm excited about what's going to be released through the people of God because of the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon us afresh this Pentecost. And can I encourage you, you know, if when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, if something changes for you, can you just send me an email and let me know? I would just love to know what God is doing in your life. So normally what I do at the end of one of our services, I ask everyone to just close their eyes, put your hands out in front of you, just in a stance of reception. You're going to receive something, and I'm just going to pray a benediction over you right now. You ready? Go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor everyone. Love and serve the Lord. Rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. God bless you, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, Genesis Church.